Welcome to the Helping Children Thrive podcast, where we talk about ways to improve your child's health and recovery. I'm your host, Momina Sidique, and I'm a certified pediatric functional medicine health coach. At Helping Children Thrive, it is our aim to educate and empower parents and practitioners with integrative approaches to children's health conditions. Along with this hope that our children can recover, I welcome you all. Hi everyone, on today's episode, I'm interviewing Carla Atherton. Carla is the director of the Healthy Family Formula, and she's the host of the Children's and Teen Health Summit. She's also an author of the Family Health Revolution book. She's an editor, a book junkie, a research geek. Carla is on a revolutionary mission to empower families to transcend our new normal of ill health and chronic disease. She has trained as a health coach with the Epidemic Answers Health Coach Training Program, has done a program with the Institute for Transformation Nutrition, the Function Medicine University, and keeps taking courses to expand her knowledge. Carla specializes in family health with a focus on functional, holistic, natural health and wellness. Carla is a passionate advocate for client and patient-centered care and education and believes strongly in the autonomy and empowerment of the individual, regardless of their gender, their race, their age, or social status. Let's get into this interview. Hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Carla. I'm so happy and so excited to have you on today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. I'm excited.
Yeah. So you are a family health coach, right? And you have a company, it's called Healthy Family Formula. Can you tell us a little bit more about what a family health coach does?
Okay, that's a really good question, because I think that it's like a newer profession. So, I mean, I think maybe in the 80s and 90s, we started to get used to this whole idea of like a lifestyle coach. You know, people were trying to like just, you know, go get her and just be, you know, the best you can be in your life and in your business. And of course, you know, we're really used to business coaches by now. But what we were kind of missing in the health field is someone to help coach people through health challenges. Because if anybody listening who's had a health challenge, we know how difficult that can be to navigate systems, to make healing plans for yourself, to know, like, get the right information, to get support, because, you know, sometimes we don't have those supports in our systems or in our family. You know, or friends, and sometimes people just feel really lost. And I think if we don't have like someone supporting us, if we don't have the right information, or at least, you know, access to more information than what maybe we thought was available in the first place, right? Because there's so much, and we'll talk about that, you know, later on in the interview, but there's so much, so many, you know, frontiers of healing to be had for families. If we don't know that, and if we don't have the support, it's really hard to follow something that, you know, we might see an email here or a podcast there. And then they're like, okay, these are all great ideas, but how do I do this? How do I make this actually happen? How do I move the needle from, you know, this diagnosis I got today to actually being free of the symptoms that created that whole diagnosis in the first place? So that's what we do, is we help, I mean, at least my coaches, most health coaches will do similar things, but the health coaching that I do in my practice and with the people that I train and all that my trainees and grads, what we do is we provide that support through the whole process, but we also give them, you know, toolkits and suggestions. But our whole idea is to empower the people that we work with, not just with the information, but with the capability and the belief and the knowledge and the confidence to actually make it happen. And then we do everything in between, you know, like helping them, like, okay, let's say one of our people comes to us, one of the parents, right, and says, my kid will not take vitamins, okay, like they're not going to take that vitamin. Okay, well, how else are we going to make sure that that nutrition is up to par to address this particular health issue? Or they say, well, I have this other thing, I need to, you know, do this particular, have this outcome. What are some things I can do to make sure, I don't know, if we're talking about brain inflammation, for instance. There are many things we can do for that, you know, or what caused this in the first place. We actually are also detectives, right? So we help people to pinpoint root causes and then give them options as far as how to navigate those. We don't have the symptoms anymore. So that's what we do. That's kind of how I approach health coaching.
Yeah. And you know, there's just so much to unpack in that. But I think before we kind of get into that, I wanted to ask you, how did you get into all of this? How did you start to look at integrative health and functional medicine as a way to help yourself and families that you work with?
Well, interestingly enough, through, I don't know, a whole bunch of health issues in my own body. And then when my children started to be affected, it became the only way. Like, I mean, functional medicine is one of those things. That's not the only thing though. Lifestyle medicine, holistic practices. So when we had, you know, a big diagnosis in our family, one of our children, autoimmunity, type 1 diabetes, that was actually really what rocked me the most. I mean, of course I had and started to rectify those things with diet and going, okay, well, gluten's not really my friend. And when I eat dairy, I feel like this, and started to pay attention to all my symptoms and going, wait a minute, there's actually a reason for this, instead of taking something or riding it out, you know, like suppressing a symptom. I actually realized, oh, this is what it means. You go to the root, you stop, you get the thorn out of your foot, and then the foot heals, right? So it just was like a revelation. And when with my children, that just became a passion, and I couldn't help but start sharing. I've got to just do this. It's not even for a living, right? Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, I have to do this full time, because I was doing it full time anyway. And all the groundwork that I was laying actually could help other people not have to spend 10 years doing the work I've done over the last 10 years to get to, you know, a place where they could have been, you know, a little earlier in the process, with a lot less suffering and a lot more support and maybe joy in the process. So not that it was all bad. It's just that, you know, as we learn, I just wanted to share that with other people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting when you talk about it like that. This whole world of, you know, of working with our children and trying to get them to, you know, trying to help families, so that everything that we've learned for such a long time, trying to bring it in, push it into like a shorter period of time, so they don't have to suffer for like these long periods of time. Like, their kids can have better turnaround times. And I think that that's where having a health family health coach like you helps so much, that it really distends everything down to, you know, here are some guidelines. I've been through this. I have seen this happen. So really, like, firsthand knowledge of things that we have seen with our children, and say, you know, I can help you. I'm here for that.
I also think it's a new lens too, yeah. Right? Like, I think it's a new way. And instead of it, you know, okay, well, if we have a diagnosis, it is a quick route to, you know, feeling better, getting better, reversal, maybe even in a lot of cases, you know, for chronic conditions, and really seeing that things like acne or poor mood or feeling kind of crappy or tired or lethargic, those are chronic conditions. So look, like, actually seeing what health actually means, and having a little shift in how we actually see health. And then we move into like more of a natural state of health rather than a reaction to things that go wrong. So we can prevent, once we kind of get this idea and we start to reverse or, you know, alleviate symptoms, then we don't have them recur. We don't have to cope with terrible health. We can actually attain it a lot easier if we start to understand that, well, we got to listen to the symptoms. We listen to our bodies, our children telling us, you know, their bodies. We teach our kids to listen to their bodies. And then we actually don't have this whole epidemic of chronic illness in the first place, right? We can actually stop this wave that's going through our population right now of ill health before it gets worse. And then we can turn the tide. So it's way more than just like the reaction, because we do have a response, right? We want to respond. That's how I like to work with it. I respond, you know, we reduce the stress and we respond to this going on. But we also want to be doing that ahead of time, and also getting out of that reactionary sick care, right? And really truly taking care of our health care.
Yeah. You know, I really like this whole concept of we don't have to, and not just for ourselves, but even our children, we don't have to be sick, right? We don't have to live like this. We don't have to live with this feeling of just being tired all the time. You know, there's so many families that I've worked with, and then their kids just, they never knew any different, right? If you ask them, like, you know, you feel tired all the time, they just think it's normal. And so it's really like, I like that idea, the way you put it, it's changing the lens through which we're looking at it. It's not okay to have to live through that and to think that it's normal. But it's like really redefining what that normal should be, right? It should be optimal. It shouldn't just be something that you're okay
with. Exactly. Yeah. Totally agree.
And so where can families start, right? So there, you know, we for families that have kids that have certain conditions and disorders, you know, you always have that particular disorder to start off with, to start looking at the root causes for that. But even to take a step before that even happens, how can parents start preparing their children's health so that they don't reach that stage where they have to deal with a disorder?
It's totally about lifestyle and environment, right? So we want to prevent the deficiencies and toxicities that cause inflammation that in turn disrupt the immune system and the nervous system and then cause symptoms that we diagnose as disease, right? So we back way up. What are those things that are actually causing disease and illness and inflammation? And I call them the usual suspects. I think that there are several other people who call them that as well. So we're looking at things in our environment and in our lifestyle, right? So we can't be eating McDonald's and not exercising and then expecting to feel good, because we're not giving our bodies the fuel, and we're not only not giving us enough sleep or rest, that we're also introducing a lot of toxins, right? So our world is so toxic. And I don't just mean, you know, chemicals, which are very prevalent. I mean, you know, newborn babies, there have been studies to show that they're, you know, a newborn baby has over 200 chemicals in its umbilical cord. So those babies are not protected actually in the womb. They're actually highly exposed to whatever the mom is exposed to. And they're born with toxic cells and toxic tissues, toxic brains. And that's really tough, you know? And okay, lifestyle and environment. And there's tons we can do. It's not like we're like, oh, our environment's so awful. And it kind of is. Like, you know, you can be a little bit concerned if you know a lot of stuff and you've been doing a lot of reading and you know what's going on in our environment and how it affects our endocrine system, our neurochemicals, our everything that our bodies need to work in order to be healthy. But there is lots of hope, because we can look around our house. I actually have a healthy home assessment that I give to clients and people who have, you know, it's in my book too. And those are areas of your home where you can look in your immediate environment where you spend the most of your time. So you're looking for things in your, you know, that can be a toxicant in your home. So kitchen, in your bathroom, all your, you know, like self-care stuff, you know, your beauty care, like, you know, out in your yard, are you using pesticides? Do you have toxic paints? Is your furniture off-gassing? You know, you're not wanting to redecorate baby's bedroom, you know, before the baby's born, like stuff like that. So there are lots of things you can do to actually rid of some of those root causes, you know, make sure there's no mold in the home, environmental and relation stress, you know, is there a lot of stress going on in your home? What can you do to help to mitigate those effects? And usually it's to actually address feelings or concerns or reactivities. Child should be taught how to meditate, right? It doesn't have to be any sort of meditation that comes from any kind of religion or anything. It could be highly scientific, whatever you're comfortable with. It could be breathing. Just close your eyes and breathe into your belly and out. It doesn't matter if they come to me for a mental or emotional health issue, or if it's autism or if it's autoimmunity, doesn't matter. Across the board, stress reduction helps to reduce incidence of chronic illness. Across, and so we're looking at other things, not just toxicities in our mind and our environments, also we're looking at other lifestyle factors that are stressors. So all of these things together are stressors. So lack of sleep, poor sleep. If you've ever stayed up all night, Mamina, you know that you're not a happy camper the next day. And that's what, imagine if you're chronically sleep deprived, you get, you know, whatever, or you get to bed way too late and you got to get kicked out of bed to get to school and you're, you know, eating a sugary breakfast of like Fruit Loops, and then you get a sugar high and you crash by lunch. Is that kid learning? Is that kid feeling good? No. And it's like recipe for disaster because they're malnourished and over toxic. So we've got diet, right? Super great, you know, way to intervene. That's one of the things you can do 3, 4, 5 times a day. It's either you're nourishing your body or you can, you know, you could be damaging it. So if we think about it that way, it's like, yes, you know, let's eat whole foods that are, you know, eat the rainbow, lots of phytochemicals, all the nutrients you need to build good brains and bodies. And, you know, keep all the inflammation down, anti-inflammatory food. And so examples of inflammatory food would be high sugar, right? Bad oils that are fried, things in bags, boxes, and cans that contain a ton of chemicals and are highly processed. So we just want to stay away from those things. So those little changes in your home, eating better, sleeping well, you know, getting rid of that blue light at night, you know, so you get a nice, good sleep that detoxifies the brain as you sleep and your body's able to repair, and exercise, right? Those kids are out climbing trees. They're running around in the yard. They're not doing this. Like, that is not exercise. That is just, right? So we need to get unplugged and out in nature, right? So lifestyle is huge. And sometimes people say, well, that's not going to help me. I have this huge diagnosis, you know, reverse arthritis. Okay. So for me, I could have been on tons of meds right now because my knees were like, I thought they were shot when I was 35, but I was eating a food that I was reacting to, which in my case was gluten. I couldn't think. I had brain fog. I was getting kind of fat. And I gained 35 pounds in those years, and I'd never been overweight in my life. And I was hyperactive. Like, I just rarely feel like I was falling apart. So things that people can do, and it's all within their own control. And it's so rewarding. It's really fun to go for a picnic of good food, and you're outside laying on the grass with your kids, and you're having some rest, and you're doing some stress reduction because you're there with them, present in the moment. How much better can you get? You don't have to take a bunch of pills, you know, like that stuff is really effective. It's really powerful.
Yeah. And it's things that make such longer lasting changes, right? You're doing this thinking right now, you're doing it to improve your child's health or to help them recover from whatever condition that they have. But if you look at it, you're actually helping your child in the long run, right? Creating these new habits and cultivating in them these new behaviors that will stick with them for a long, long time. So it's not something that you're doing in a silo right now, but it's something that has ramifications for the rest of their life.
Right. It's not like a quick fix for one specific issue. It's actually like a lifestyle. It's a happy way to be, you know? And I think that it's a big challenge though. I'm not going to be naive and think, oh, well, you just start doing this tomorrow. I mean, you know, it's how I raised my kids, but I still felt, you know, even especially when they got to their teen years, there was a lot of resistance to it. A lot of, oh, it's the big deal, you know, like, you know, with other family members or people that we knew. It was a lot of like questioning, you know, what we were doing, and a lot of pull in the other direction from media and from habits, and like even just little comments like, oh, that's just how kids eat. Like every restaurant on the menu, what's on the kids' menu? Okay, what messages do we constantly get? Like our kids get on the kids' menu. I would never order from the kids' menu. I'm like, you guys are ordering from the adult menu because all that's on the kids' menu is fried and hot dogs, right? Like, what are we saying about childhood? It's just reckless. We have all these sort of preconceived notions that if we actually looked at them, like all these parents listening would be like, yeah, like I don't even believe that. And I can't believe what's being perpetuated. You know, so I think that looking at those things can be hard sometimes, you know, especially if it's a change you're going to make. And those kids are used to having a treat cupboard that they can raid. You know, that's when the family comes together and they discuss these things and they, you know, discuss what the kids want to do. They come grocery shopping, they help make this. But I'm not going to pretend that some of those changes aren't going to, you know, be a little bit challenging. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times it's, it's more challenging for the parents to start off with first changing their mindsets, right? I think for them, it's like, yeah, this point, like, we're not going to eat pizza anymore, or we're not going to have gluten and treats or milk, like, you know, just basic things. If there are food allergies, like, I think the biggest challenge first for parents to get over that hump of, we need to do that. And they do, like, a lot of parents, at least that I work with, they'll go through that and they'll do it for their children. But what I've seen that helps a lot more is whether it's a whole family initiative rather than just making that one child have to make those changes.
Oh, that is such a good point. Yeah. I actually have a whole section like that I wrote about in my book, and I don't want to keep referring to my book, but this is kind of like my brain dump. That's what my book became. It's like all these years of just like, oh, I have to say all these things. And that was a huge issue for me, because we tend to see like one person who has seems to have the most challenges as the one that has the problem. They're the sick kid. They're the one that can't do this. Or they, you know, they're the ones we focus on and fix. And sometimes, I mean, it's never one person. It's never one person. It's always the whole family. It's always, there's a ripple effect. And there's also like, you know, it affects everybody. So if someone is not well, it affects everybody else. And plus, like, whatever got that child ill in the first place is probably at play with everybody in the family too. I mean, it even goes to like family traumas and relationship and like, and also that whole idea that we're fixing somebody. I mean, man, talk about, oh, like a way, you know, that can really be very divisive and cause a lot of, I guess, strife, you know, and more challenges for families. If it's always like, we got to fix this kid, or this kid has this behavioral issue and there's something wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong, but not necessarily with that child. Something's wrong in the environment. Something's wrong with some of those usual suspects. Something's not quite balanced in how we're living. And how can we look at that for the betterment of our whole family? And that just, it's such a more beautiful and cohesive way to look at it. You know, when it's the whole family, we're in this together. You know, and it's not just you. Oh, like, I love what like Naomi Aldort, she wrote a book called Raising Our Children, Raising Ourselves. And it's so true. We don't really raise our children. We're kind of raising ourselves as parents. And we're really having to look at what we're doing, not to lay blame, but also to give insight into what we can do for the future. And yeah, it doesn't single that person out. And we actually all get, you know, rise up and are all healthier for it. Yeah, I love that you mentioned that.
And I love that, you know, you call your whole, your company and everything around, it's really about family health, right? It's not that sometimes you'll see that you're working for one child, maybe, like you're addressing the signs and symptoms of one child. But when you make those changes, you probably have one or two other family members say, oh, but like this helped my eczema. And another one was going to say, oh, you know what? I feel like this cloud has lifted off of my head. I feel more focused, or, you know, my anxiety seems to be waning now. It's just, there's so many changes that you see across the board. You're focusing on one family member, but so many others are really getting the results that they didn't even think that they were looking for.
Completely. And some of those kids, you know, like they're the canaries in the coal mine, as they say, epidemic answers, right? I mean, some of them are more sensitive. They're the ones showing us problem. And, you know, there may have to be more focus on that one child if they're having tantrums, if they have pandas, if they have, you know, really severe autism. Like there may be some things, like some more extra support for specific family members at different times. But it's still the same fundamental shifts that will help that one child are going to help everybody for sure. Yeah.
And that kind of leads me really well into like this other segue that I want to talk about was, you know, when all of these families, when one family member gets a diagnosis, right? And so how can the families then start to get information about how to help them, right? You said that in the beginning, there's so much out there. Like you spent 10 years wrapping your head around all the things that was there. It's almost like there's just so much noise out there, right? Someone's pulling you in one direction, somebody else's one diet, then there's another diet. Like there are 10 diets on the market. Which one do you pick to help heal your child? They all claim to be like the answer for your child's condition. And how do you help families start to like piece all of that apart and make sense of it?
Well, that's exactly why I do what I do. And I know some people who do similar work, But I honestly, I had nobody that I thought that I could go to and get the full meal deal of what I was needing. So I created it. So that, like, that literally was what I had to do. And I'm not saying to parents like, oh, you have to, you know, there's no help, because there is. You can find people that do this. Finding people who are health coaches that are holistic, that are, you know, trained in some functional medicine, but I also think there's more to it than just functional medicine. But functional medicine gives you a really nice lens of looking at root causes and then have root cause resolution. I just think that there's more to it in Western and Eastern medicine that we can add to those principles, as well as lots of really awesome advances. And I also felt like something was missing as far as support, because people can really fall through the cracks, especially if they're overwhelmed and they kind of tend, like, you know, they've already been through like 10 different doctors or practitioners, and they need someone to pull it all together. And that's what I thought, okay, I don't want to be just another person that's going to be someone that they consulted for a week or a month, or, and then just felt like, okay, I'm going to on to the next thing, because that's really easy for us to do. We actually pull all of that stuff together. So we acknowledge that there's a, you know, a massage therapist on their team. There's this, there's that. And what we do is help them to discern what they need. And so it's a very individualized approach, and that's what you want people to do. You don't want to go to someone who's got like a cookie cutter, you know, approach, which sometimes it helps. Like, you know, if you start off with a detox program, that is helpful, but there are always nuances, always tweaks to be made that are specific to the individual family and the individual themselves, right? So I think that's why I wrote my book. So first, you know, reading a book like mine or other books that are, you know, talking about this whole model. And then I have this approach where, you know, you work with someone to actually put together the whole picture. So it seems like kind of like a homework at first, but then it becomes very natural, right? So at first you're like, okay, I make sure I'm getting 8 hours of sleep at night. I'm going to make sure I'm turning off that computer before dusk. I'm making sure that I'm not, you know, don't sleep by the Wi-Fi router. And I know, so we're systematically step by step helping people through, because that's another thing, is that when you're on the wild west of the internet, which I love having the internet, don't get me wrong, but it's still not, it's filtered. So you're not always getting all the information anyway that you probably should get if you look up something like autism, right? You know, but if you know how to search, you can still find really good information that's not just the you know, usual three, you know, websites that come up. But know that, you know, you become savvy to that. But working with someone who has done that, I think, is really useful. So so you said, how do you get support? You know, like I said, that's why I wrote my book. You know, going through all that stuff and how to actually make yourself, you know, your healing plan, but you're always going to need support. It's just really a really good idea to have somebody to help you with that. Yeah. So again, you know, looking at my practice, and then, you know, either, you know, thinking about what you need as far as what we can provide, or other, or whoever is in your area, or support that you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that really help? Is that kind of vague?
No, but I think it helps, because a lot of times, like I said, there's so much information out there, right? It's you need to condense it and make sense of it. And a lot of times when families are in that position where either it's a new diagnosis, and so they're just, they're swimming. Like, there's a lot of, like, not just information being thrown at them, but their own emotions, their own state of mind.
Yes.
It's like this stress that they're surrounded by. There's this new diagnosis, not really understanding what is going on, why it's happening. And then, you know, just, you're also almost just kind of grieving this loss of what an image of what you'd made, especially with things like autism. When a parent is given that diagnosis, they kind of feel like it's over. Like, you know, this is how life is supposed to be. And it's unfortunate, because that's how doctors or caregivers are going to present that information to you. So they're going to give that diagnosis to you like that, which I have a big problem with. And I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to set up this podcast and have people like you come on to give that hope, right? That there's so much out there for them to look at, right? For them to see and to seek out practitioners like you who will help and just guide everyone with where to go, what to do, that there is hope.
Well, you know, I love that you said that. I was actually trying to scribble down some thoughts I had, and I hope I don't miss them. But yeah, for one thing, I always look at that a diagnosis as not the end, but the beginning. And in our medical profession, we tend to see it, or medical, not profession, I'm not in the profession, but in the medical mindset, right? Where that it's just like, that's the end. I've never seen that. I don't see that as the end. It's like, a diagnosis can, yes, it can help orient people in something. It can say, oh, there's a reason for how I'm feeling. You know, this is a set of certain things that actually other people have challenges with, you know, helps them to make sense with it. But from there, where do we go? We move on and say, okay, what caused this set of symptoms that we are calling a diagnosis? And then we address what's caused it and we see what we can do. And it's not about fixing the person. It's not about saying someone's damaged or, oh, you know, this is terrible. And like, you know, it's not about that. It's really about allowing that person to have the best life. And we could say, yes, we're going to accept what we can't change. But there's always something you can do to improve. Like, I mean, and I never think you can't change something. Sometimes you just haven't found out how, but you're always celebrating along the way. Like, we didn't have like, oh, turn the key and everything was better. Like, it still isn't like that. It's unrealistic. And it's actually taking away from the beauty of the moment, of the beauty of your life journey, right? And your child's life journey. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes, it, you know, so you learn to meditate and you learn, you know, the things that you can do. You get empowered with information. You do what you can and you leave the rest for tomorrow. So I think that's why I did so well. You know, I didn't have a nervous breakdown like a couple of people that I know had when their children had similar diagnoses to mine. I actually got busy. And that's just kind of how my brain works. I've been through a lot of trauma in my life. And I think that that has taught me how to be resilient. And so I didn't even feel sorry for my daughter. I felt sad that she had to grow up maybe a little too quick, you know, that she had to deal with this and that sucked for her, but I never felt like there was nothing we could do, because as soon as I heard that diagnosis, I went, okay, what are we going to do now? And I just like cleaned out a cupboard and I put all this, you know, our records in there and her checker and her, like, you know, we just learned. And I just went like, hey, whatever didn't seem right to me or seemed like a dead end, I just went somewhere else. If someone didn't know and said, nope, you can't, that's not going to happen. You can't do that. And if I, with my knowledge of the body, I knew actually, yeah, you can. So I just went somewhere else. So if someone said no, I went, you know, I said, I don't know. And another thing I just really want parents to know and always remember is that if someone tells you that there is nothing you can do, just know that what they're actually saying is that there's nothing they can do. So there is always someone else who knows something else. Nobody knows everything. And so I just say, just keep looking. And I don't mean in a frenzied way where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just like, I have to do this before this time because, you know, this is going to be destroyed in their body. And I had plenty of fear like that. That's why a coach is really good who's been through this, because then we can say, I'm going to give you your slap now. Or I'm going to tell you to go meditate. Mom, dad, it's okay. We are going to do what we can and you're going to still enjoy your life with that child. And whatever change it made that change. I mean, you can't go back and you can't, even if you feel like there's something you did right in your past, those decisions you made that maybe, you know, created this outcome. We can't live in that. Like there, it just is. So we move forward. Right. I think that's really what kept me going, and not just kept me going as in like pumping up the flat tire every 5 minutes. I mean, like just literally like, you know, like out the gate, what are we going to do? And when we need a rest, we take a rest and then we pick it up again tomorrow and we have balance in our lives. Right. Okay. So I just keep going on that.
No, I love that. No, but it's so inspiring to hear that, because I think a lot of parents need that, right? They just, and I've worked with so many families and I see that in the parents' eyes, whether it's one parent or both, that they just have that drive, right? When you're given a certain diagnosis, or if your child is kind of clubbed into like a certain signs and symptoms and said, this is what it looks like, it just kind of ignites in them this this drive to help their child. And I think that is where they're able to also access a sense of community, right? From mm-hmm. other like-minded parents where they're like, you know, we need to help our child. How did you do it? How will I do it? And that's where that need and that desire for all of this information comes in, which can then again be overwhelming because it's too much out there. And then someone like a health coach can help ground them and kind of make sense of all of that information, saying, okay, these are five things that you know, but here's where we start, right? This is what we do. And mm-hmm. this is how we'll go with it.
Love it.
And I feel like that helps. And I've seen that help with the families that I work with. Like there's this overwhelm, but there's also this aggressive need to help their child and help them now. And I think that kind of stems from this medicalized mindset that we have, like take this pill and you'll feel better. But that's not how this whole holistic world, that's not how it works, does it?
No, it isn't. It isn't. And we have to embrace that. I don't ever say you have to do this. I actually don't even like to use those terms, but really it is something that is a realization that needs to come if people are going to be able to allow the body to heal in a more sustainable way. Because yes, you might have certain things that you hit the nail on the head with that sucker. Like you like, okay, that kiddo like had severe constipation and sleep problems. And we started giving them magnesium bisglycinate or something like that, right? And literally, like, you know, in a week that kid was going and their mood improved and their sleep, right? So sometimes we hit the nail on the head, and yes, because it might have been that very thing that caused the most, you know, important or challenging symptoms. But most of the time, you know, it's a progression, and there's steps to be taken, and there's an onion to peel, you know, and it's okay. And we see improvement all along the way, and that's more sustainable, right? That's like, you know, if you're on the, it's like the tortoise and the hare, you know, that hare is getting tired and it's going to run out of steam. The tortoise is going to last and it's going to actually pass the finish line and keep going because it's never going to run out of energy. Because it's conserving it. So it's the same kind of way. So if we can look at it that way and not expect, you know, like zero pain. I mean, actually pain has a purpose. Yeah. Pain is telling us that there's something going on under the surface. And if we see something that's supposedly fast or quick fix, it isn't. It's just covering up what's actually going on. It is not, it doesn't exist, right? So if we can understand that and actually see what's going on. And if you have a pain symptom, if you cover that up, you don't actually know what to do about it then if it's covered up, because you don't actually know, was it discomfort? Was it a sharp pain? Was it inflammatory? Was it because I wasn't moving around enough? Was it because I injured myself? Like, you don't know any of that because you've silenced your body. So the holistic approach is more about listening and about like a sustainable way of not only healing, but of maintaining health throughout life. Yeah. Like that is where you get true health.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times I hear from families like, how long do we have to do this? And you're like, this is the lifestyle that we want.
Forever.
Like, you know, we got here because we have this whole idea of total load. Our kids, right, and we ourselves, our bodies are overloaded with all of these stimuli from our environment that are just, it's telling us to stop, right? And yep, that's why we see what we're seeing in our bodies. So this is not something that I'm going to just ask you to do for 6 months and say, you know, that's mm-hmm. the end of it. But the beauty of this change also is that for those that are hesitant to a longer term change, once they do it for 6 months and then they want to go back, they don't feel like going back because the improvement that they've seen, right? And they feel so much better. It's almost like when you ask someone to turn off the Wi-Fi at night and go to sleep, they're not going to turn that Wi-Fi on the next night or leave it on because of the sleep that they get. It's just, it's amazing. Well,
that's the thing. That's the thing with baby steps. You know, people are hesitant. You just say, okay, give it a go for 6 months or something like that, or whatever your time is, to make sure that there's actually a change, because some things take a bit of time to actually change and recover. So yes. And then you say, you decide if you want to go back, you decide, and then they can decide whether they want to go back or not. And some of those things though, it's like, okay, how long do I have to do this? If it's a supplement routine, sometimes you can't, you don't need to, right? Sometimes it's like, okay, this is to correct a deficiency. Mm-hmm. And then now that your diet's changed, or you've rid foods from your diet that are ripping up your gut, you're absorbing properly, you're, you know, digesting well, they don't necessarily need to be on like handfuls of supplements, or if they, you know, overcome some kind of viral issue or Lyme disease or something like that, or they're doing a detox, those are temporary. Okay. Then we move into the maintenance stage, which is like, you've done the main detox, let's say, and you just eat detoxifying foods. You have a smoothie every day. You just eat anti-inflammatory foods because you're just making sure you're not creating another fire, but you've already put out the major flame.
You're just nourishing yourself as you go. Yeah. Right? It's not even turning out the fire, but you're just doing this because you love your body and for all the work that your body does.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So some things are meant to be temporary, but the lifestyle, the diet, you know, the environmental stuff, that's all meant to be permanent, because that's how we maintain and sustain our health. It's just how it is. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. This is amazing. And I think another thing that parents can really learn, and I'm sure you can agree with that, is really taking every little win and just using that as the energy and as the momentum that you need to kind of keep pushing through, right? Yeah. Those small little changes when see that, right? Like I just had someone last week saying, we're starting to see slivers of our little boy coming back. And you're just like, and that's huge for those parents. Even if it's small slivers, it's a big deal.
Well, and it can be indicative of a huge like biochemical change or even physical like healing or, you know, reduction of inflammation that was actually really going down a terrible road. So some of those subtleties are actually really big changes under the surface. Yeah. And yes, all those small wins. I'm one of those people that is a celebrator. Like I'm like, we are celebrating all these little things. Every single time we have a meal, we're like, thank you. Like, I'm like, I love this stuff. Like, you know, there's so much to be said with gratitude and paying attention to those wins, because then you start having an outlook of life that is more grateful and it's less stressful. It's really stressful to be fearful, to be resentful, to regret everything that we don't get to have now that we've got this diagnosis. I mean, I'm not saying everything's roses, but if you can look at like the world and teach your kids the same, you know, in that sense of gratitude and on that, those, you know, you're celebrating and love it. And that's what I do. I do a lot with my clients. I'm like, yes, good for you. And we even had an unbirthday party with my nieces and my kids one time because it was nobody's birthday. We wanted to celebrate something. So we're like, let's have an unbirthday party. We're going to make something to eat and we're going to have some. I'm all for that. Joy in every moment, you know, and every win. Love that.
And it's just the number of endorphins it gives you, right? You're going through such a time. It just uplifts the way how you feel. It allows you to look at something beyond like the struggles of now, right? It gives you something to look forward to as well.
Yeah. And you know what too, is also the endorphins that you mentioned, those actually endorphins, if you have increased endorphins, you have less pain.
Yeah.
Right. You experience your body differently when you have a different mental outset like that. Like that's huge. Right? You could be writhing in pain, or you could be, you know, like, I mean, there is, I'm not saying that everything's going to be, you know, you're not going to go into surgery just by thinking happy thoughts, but you know, like without any anesthetic, I mean, I'm not saying that, but for the most part, you are reducing pain. You're reducing, like stress on the body, you know, like all of that, your whole experience. Yeah.
And like it kind of brings us back to like that whole idea of family health, right? So if you're celebrating together, everyone in that family is going to benefit from that, right? Like if the main problem, if the main condition is a child's, but the stress is also on the parents, right? And the siblings, like it's like a whole family thing that you're going through. And so to celebrate and to allow yourself to kind of take every win just allows that stress level, even if it's just for a minute, to kind of subside and come down. And our kids absorb so much of our like parents' stress, right? And it has such a big difference in the way how they feel and they process everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. This has been so amazing. I feel like there's we can keep going on and on and on, but this is just, where can parents reach you? Where can they see? Where can they get your book? There's so much you have to offer.
Yes, because I would love to share all that. And I swear, as you were talking, I'm like, Amina, did you read my book? Because like, seriously, we are so on like the same wavelength on so many different things. And I think it is actually this whole model of healthcare that we are working under, or not under, but with, you know, this like, yeah. So I think we're on the same page for sure. All right. So healthyfamilyformula.com is my website, healthyfamilyformula.com. There's a, like a link at the top. So I'm not going to give you URLs to the book page or whatever, because there is it says Health, Family Health Revolution, the book. So Family Health Revolution. I'm kind of working on my website a little bit, so it's not as great to figure out what services and programs we actually have. But if you look on the main page, it does give you a little synopsis, and there's a little video that I'm redoing. But and it will actually, you can book a free meet and greet with me if you want to talk to me about like a little bit more one-on-one stuff or family work or that kind of thing. And then you can get an idea of how I work and what I do with people. Or you can look at my training program. There's a link at the top in the top menu bar. So I have a training academy to teach people to do this work with other people, which I love doing that. I teach that every Sunday. And so you can find out about that program. And then we have new group programs coming up as well. So if you get on my newsletter list, you will find out about all of that. So there's a link, or not a link, there's an opt-in form on my main page, and actually all the pages, and you can just opt into the newsletter and you'll always get information about that. And I also have a podcast that I started, just like you have a podcast now. So I always meant to do this. Oh, I do a lot of interviews, but it's like, you know, a summit and then another summit 2 years later or a year. No, I wanted to do something a little more regular. So it's like little sound bites that are meant to be kind of like coaching sound bites. Mm-hmm. So they're 15 to 30 minutes and people can check that out. I'm on the third one. This third one's was just launched on or released on Monday. Every Monday they're released. So there's a link at the top. And this particular topic was about reclaiming our mental and emotional health. So I think that's very relevant right now. Lots of stuff, strife and uncertainty, fear going on out there. And so I wanted to address that. So yeah, those are where you can just go to healthyfamilyformula.com and you can find out a little bit more about me and access all of those supports.
Yeah, I love your podcast. I actually went through all of them today. So I'm all healthy family formula. Yes, I'm all done. But it's amazing, right? There's so many resources. And I think that's really the premise of all of the work that we're doing, is to help provide parents hope, right? And give them the tools that they need to help their families.
Yeah. Well, Momina, you also do this work. So you said, where can people find the supports? How about you as well? You know, like I would love, if I was somebody in need of a health or family health coach, I'd be phoning you.
Thanks so much
for having me on. This was so much fun.
I know. This has been amazing. Thank you for coming on.
Okay. My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you for listening to this podcast and spending your precious time with us at Helping Children Thrive. If you find this podcast helpful, please share it with your family, friends, and others who may benefit. If you haven't already, hit subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Please take a few moments to rate and review this podcast on the review section of Apple Podcasts. This will help other parents, caregivers, and professionals find the show more easily. Visit MominaSaleemCoaching.com to post comments on today's show or ask any questions about upcoming episodes. And sign up to receive weekly updates. Helping Children Thrive is not a substitute for working with a qualified healthcare professional. The information shared here is not intended to diagnose and treat your child. Before implementing anything discussed here on the podcast, make sure to consult your healthcare practitioner. See you all next week.